on Eric A. Sinati Unplugged, where we cut through the noise and get to the bottom line. No holds barred, all truth, all fact, no fake news here. So, ladies and gentlemen, in a unprecedented move, which is obviously capturing global attention, President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin have agreed to initiate negotiations aimed at eventually, hopefully, we all hope, ending the ongoing war in Ukraine. Ukraine and Russia and all the proxies involved. So this development follows a series of high-level discussions and marks a significant move and shift in international diplomacy. And I applaud that on all sides if this truly does venture to where they say it's going to go. So as always, we start with a famous quote to open the show. Diplomacy is the art of telling people to go to hell in such a way that they ask for directions. Diplomacy is the art of telling people to go to hell in such a way that they will ask you for directions. Winston Churchill. Churchill was the British Prime Minister during World War II, renowned for his leadership. And this quote underscores the delicate balance that truly is there with strategic maneuvering when you're dealing with international negotiations of such a large magnitude, as obviously Winston Churchill was involved in, and now Donald Trump, President Trump, and President Vladimir Putin, and obviously Zelensky, President Zelensky of Ukraine. But we know that he obviously was not really wanting to have this war, or so he says. Real parties here in play are what the Russians are going to do, and that's really key. So into our talking points here on Eric A. Sinati Unplugged, right here on iHeartRadio. President Trump announced that the United States and Russia will begin negotiations immediately, to discuss the end of the conflict in Ukraine. This decision comes after, and he quote, a lengthy and highly productive phone call. That's a quote between both President Trump and President Vladimir Putin of Russia. Now, this conflict, folks, has been going on for quite some time. It's not something that just came into the headlines today. This conflict is approaching its third year anniversary. That's 3 years. It's resulted in significant territorial changes and humanitarian impacts that are far reaching beyond what we could even discuss in an episode here on Unplugged. And I'm sure that the humanitarian aftermath, whether or not this is stopped now and they come to a truce or an agreement, we will not really truly know the humanitarian impact that this has probably for years to come. Just things change and God knows what symptoms and who was hurt and who will have subsequent injuries. I mean, just look at the United States. We went to war in Afghanistan and then Iraq and the global war on terror as a whole. And look at our disabled veteran population and what people are facing 20 years after. I mean, 9/11 was more than 9/11 2001. We say 9/11 loosely now, but that was more than 20 years ago. So, and we're still facing the repercussions with our infrastructure and here in America and the way our lifestyle has changed. And we're dealing with the veteran population here in the United States who is suffering many disabilities. We have suicide on the high, you know, that they never really want to talk about the truth on that. How many people actually commit suicide on a daily basis? And that's just the military population. Now, if you were to look at a country like Ukraine and even Russia, you know, besides their military, that'll be impacted by what has occurred during this conflict. But also, what about the civilians? See, we here in the United States don't really think about that, because the only time we've really had something on our home turf was 9/11/2001. And that was a one-day incident. Lots of people were hurt and killed, but it was not a continuous bombardment in several locations. We had three different locations, one basic incident of three different things that occurred, but one incident in one day. Imagine, and then the previous time that this happened was, Pearl Harbor. And again, it impacted mostly the military community, not so much the civilian community there. But when you look at Ukraine and Russia, you're talking about conflict on the ground inside of these countries. So you have military casualties and military injuries and traumatic brain injury and PTSD. That's going to be in play for all those people involved there. But you're also going to have the civilian population of Russia and the civilian population of Ukraine. So that's why I say loosely that the humanitarian crisis and issues will probably reach many years down the road, and we may not even truly know the outcome of all of them moving forward. President Trump said in a quote, "I think President Putin wants peace, and President Zelensky wants peace." And Trump said, "I want peace." That's a direct quote from President Trump. "I think President Putin wants peace, and President Zelensky wants peace, and I want peace," said President Trump. That is a positive step, I would say. What say you, Carrie? You with me?
Well, of course you have to wait until I have the mic off, right?
I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to throw you in there, but I mean, this is big stuff. Somebody that's not involved in politics and not involved in this kind of thing, what's your thought? What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm so glad that somebody is finally putting an end to all of that, because the human loss is just unthinkable.
It fought, yeah.
I mean, with the Koreans that were sent over there, you know, they were lost how many thousands of people? It's
right.
Just,
yeah. And
it's,
you know,
awful.
What's crazy is I think that was North Koreans, you're saying.
Yes.
What is interesting about the North Korean, I think that was maybe a show of strength or some attempted from North Korea, Kim Jong-un, to make friends with Russia or whatever. I have no idea what that was. Maybe, I'm thinking it was more of like a show of strength. And actually, it was really a show of weakness. They got killed. Nobody's actually spoke of any battle or anything that they truly did anything great. Have you heard anything? I haven't heard anything that they did that was wonderful. They get killed.
What I heard was, when there was something where they knew there was going to be high casualties, they sent the North Koreans
to
that battlefront.
Yeah, I kind of heard that too, honestly. I did. You have to ask yourself, is that truly what was happening? Because if it was, and that really is a really, really sad display on everybody's part.
Well, unfortunately, you're never going to know.
No, well. Listen, a little off record here, off conversation, but you yesterday, they're proposing a task force in Congress. They're still talking about the Kennedy assassination, and we haven't, so I don't think we're ever going to, we're still talking about that. There's still rumors on who helped John Wilkes Booth kill Abraham Lincoln. And, they're still talking about that. Let's get real here. I don't think we're going to hear much on anything anytime soon. That should be a show, though, to talk about that task force. Did you hear about that? About really getting classified information out there sooner to the public? That the government secrets that don't really necessitate national security?
What I saw, it said that an order that went out in 2017 that all that stuff was supposed to come out, and they just found out it didn't. There's like 3,000 records they still haven't gone through to see what's even in them.
Yeah, I believe when President Trump had been previously interviewed on it, he said he actually went to open the file, JFK file, and we're talking he wants to do RFK, JFK, and Martin Luther King, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, all three. I think it's great. Let's do it. He said last time when he went to open Kennedy, the John F. Kennedy file, they actually asked him not to read it because they said that there were still people alive, or I guess, that were involved. He said, okay, I guess I won't. From what he did see, it wasn't going to be a major shocker that people didn't think already. So he said this time he intends to do it. Did you see that interview when he said that or no?
No.
Yeah, he had, I think it was, I don't know who it was the interview was with, to be honest with you. But he did say that he had it, he was going to read it. And they said, Mr. President, we are advising maybe you don't do it because there are people still involved that are alive. But he said what he did see was maybe nothing that's going to, you know, poof, make any lights go off that we didn't already assume or think. But anyway, again, another episode. Getting back to Ukraine and Russia, Saudi Arabia previously had hosted international summits aimed at advancing the peace efforts in Ukraine, reflecting its interest in serving as a role as like a mediator in global conflicts. You know, that's a good thing. And Trump said, quote, we're going to meet in Saudi Arabia and we're going to see if we can get this war settled. We are going to meet in Saudi Arabia and we're going to see if we can get this war settled. End quote, President Trump. I think that's good. Saudi Arabia, I guess, you know, they've generally have served as a mediator in several Middle East kind of things. So this is an interesting meetup, I guess. But I guess it's really far removed. If anything, it's kind of really removed from Russia and Ukraine. It's not even their area of the map, let's say, geopolitical area. So I guess maybe they really don't have a iron in the fire, but everybody really has an iron in the fire when we're talking about global power and whatever. But I guess because it's not a Middle Eastern country. Now, there is some up and down reactions here, but Ukrainian President Zelensky expressed a willingness to cooperate and emphasized the need to address the root causes of the conflict. And that probably could be several episodes we could do on that. But with that, folks, we're going to take a short break. Eric DeSanati Unplugged right here on iHeart. Coming right back at you.
At the Rembrandt Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back. Eric A. Sinati Unplugged right here on iHeartRadio. So where we were before we went on the break, we were discussing President Trump in communication with President Vladimir Putin of Russia. They're going to circle around for a meeting in Saudi Arabia to hopefully, quote unquote, President said, settle this war. Vladimir Putin of Russia seems to have an interest in that. The United States has a vested interest in peace among these two nations. And President Zelensky of Ukraine obviously wants peace too. He emphasized that this is important, and I left it that his real concern is the root causes of the conflict, which could, again, be several episodes. But concerns have been raised in Kiev about the potential sidelining of Ukraine in these negotiations. And many could see that. Zelensky said, quote, no one wants peace more than Ukraine. Let's get it done. That is a quote from President Zelensky of Ukraine. Now, who am I to stand here and pontificate on my soapbox about what American foreign policy should be and what President Trump should do? And Vladimir Putin, you know, and not my position to say, but I will say one thing that I kind of understand a little bit where Zelensky is going here, saying that proper representation of Ukraine is imperative in a peaceful process to an end of a war, considering Ukraine is one of the countries engaged in hostile action with Russia. Obviously, United States being the superpower, Donald Trump being the man of the deal. If anybody could broker the deal, it's going to be him. I just truly hope that what President Zelensky is saying here is that their interests are truly represented. And I do believe that President Trump will represent their interests fairly at the table. I do believe that. All of this, if you really want to go back and talk, and it's not in my notes, and my producer always gets so happy when I go off script, but let's think back to the Obama administration. Let's go back to 2014. What really sparked off this situation was the failure of the United States and the Obama administration to actively get involved and do anything when Russia took Crimea from Ukraine. We're not going to get into wild discussion over that here in this episode. That is not what the plan was for today's episode. But when I see a quote from Zelensky saying, let's get at the root cause of what started this, there's several things that occurred over a long span of time. But I want us to go back and remember 2014 and a location called Crimea, which is at the southern, it's a port area of at the very bottom tip of Ukraine. And that now was taken by Russia back in 2014, again, under the Obama administration. So maybe had diplomacy or not military action, but some sort of diplomacy or some sort of action bigger than what we would see here, maybe we wouldn't be where we are today. Strictly speculation, bots and trolls, speculation, because here we are 10, 11 years later, and it's a far larger war. A lot of people have died, and it's a humanitarian crisis. And really, this spun off two administrations ago. So the Obama administration slept through it. And then, you know, the Trump administration, he was heavily engaged with President Putin, and there was no active war at that time. And then the Biden administration they slept straight through. They didn't even hit the snooze button. Maybe Obama did hit the snooze button and woke up a few times, but Biden just slept straight through. Here we are now. Let's hope that President Trump and Vladimir Putin and Zelensky can have a good discussion and put an end to another global conflict, because Lord knows we don't need any more wars and global conflicts. Let's not prop up the military-industrial complex, and you know, let's stop spending money on useless wars and people dying for no reason. It's just got to be a time to look past that and think of more brighter, intelligent things than fighting and killing each other. It's just got to end. But this is a shift in U.S. policy. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth indicated that NATO membership for Ukraine is impractical, signaling a departure from previous U.S. support for Ukraine's aspirations to join the alliance. Not sure how much is going to go into play with that. You know, here's the thing with NATO, again, a little off script here. It's like the United Nations, another organization that the United States just pools tons of money into, and we get very little return on our money. So I don't know where this is going to play out. I know that it was President Trump's campaign through his previous administration and campaigning into this one, that we get our money's worth and other countries pay their fair share into these types of organizations and you know, treaties, et cetera. So maybe that will be, something they'll look at. But the Secretary of Defense Hegseth did remark, quote, a return to Ukraine's pre-2014 borders is an unrealistic objective. So there's your Crimea. A return to Ukraine's pre-2014 borders is an unrealistic objective. Quote from the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth. And it still, a quote, an attempt to regain all territory will only prolong the war and cause more suffering. Again, subject to speculation, subject to intelligence briefings that he and his people are receiving that we're not privy to at this point in the game, in the story, in the news cycle. So why they feel that is the case, I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate on that. I guess if I were to speculate a little bit, I would say if Crimea were, and again, 2014 was the year with Crimea, I guess for the best sake of Ukraine, if they were able to at least get back to where they were with just losing Crimea and having the rest of Ukraine and not be fully engaged in conflict and people getting shot, blown up, and having all this nonsense and war and death and humanitarian suffering across the board, maybe that is a good suggestion. I don't really know what the good suggestion is. I'm sure that President Zelensky of Ukraine is probably wanting to have Crimea back annexed back into his country, since it was part of his country pre-2014 when Crimea fell to Russia. But again, I'm a news pundit. I'm a commentary person. I'm not doing United States diplomacy. So it's not for me to make that decision. Maybe one day when elected into the appropriate office, I can be that person. Then I will give you my real opinion on what I think. International reactions. There are several reactions across the globe. Mixed, but I think fairly united. In that, European allies have expressed an unease over the United States engaging in direct negotiations with Russia, potentially sidelining the Europeans' role in the peace process. Again, I'm going to just say it, not in my script. Where were you, European Union, during this entire war process? Where were you in 2014 when Crimea was taken from Ukraine? And where have you been for the past 11 years? And now the European Union is concerned about the United States actively participating in helping to stop a global potential conflict amongst many countries and stopping a war between two countries that it was senseless killing. I mean, again, I guess European, they have a different opinion. Who am I to speak? But where were you for 11 years? Now that President Trump is going to negotiate in Saudi Arabia, so it's a third country, outside nation, mediating the process. Not like it's home court advantage in Russia or in the United States. It's at a neutral place that, quote unquote, does not have an iron in the fire. So why would the European Union have something to say? I suspect the little NATO word might have something to do with that. And I suspect that, there are still a lot of uneasy people about President Trump coming back into office and the things that he can do, he might do, and he got a mandate by the American people to do all the things he campaigned on. So I guess if you were somebody that were flapping your lips for the past 4 years under the previous administration, you might not be so happy that President Trump is very proactive in office less than 1 month and has accomplished how much so far. He's already got the sit down. I'm sure he might be in North Korea by next week. Who knows at the rate he's going. So anyway, we're going to take a short break. Eric A. Sinati Unplugged. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back.
one.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Eric A. Sinati, Unplugged. Coming at you right here on iHeartRadio. So right before the break, we were discussing the European Union's feelings and thoughts about this peace brokering mediation meeting that is going to take place in Saudi Arabia. And they felt that, you know, that they should have a little bit of a role in this process. And again, I ask it where they were for 11 years. You know, and I haven't been scrutinizing this story, so I'm not going to proclaim on my soapbox to know all the details. I'm just giving you what I have here. You know, I'm sure they've said and done things, but have they done anything truly? Have they done anything like President Trump actually getting a meeting and a sit down with the president in a neutral location? I don't think so, because this war has been going on and the last administration really didn't do much about it other than to just send money and purchase military stuff to engage in the conflict of more building of the military industrial complex, spending money because I guess war's profitable for some people, but not on this show. Wars profit nobody. Wars kill people and damage people for life. Remember that? That is what you truly should be remembering. There is concern about an agreement reached without the European involvement may not fully address security concerns, addressing the continent and what's going to happen. I don't understand where the specificity is of what security concerns they would be alarmed about, because again, Russia took Crimea back in 2014. Here we are, 2025. That would be 11 years later, folks. And now, because President Trump is going to meet with President Putin in a neutral location, they're very concerned about security around the continent. Security concern. I guess there was no security concerns since 2014 to now. I guess they're just concerns now, because there's going to be maybe an end to the war. And then Germany, their foreign minister put out, and here's a quote, "Ukraine must have an agency in the negotiations." Not really sure what they mean by an agency in the negotiations. I know that President Trump has communicated several times with President Zelensky of Ukraine. We obviously said a quote from President Zelensky a few minutes ago at the beginning of the show, the top of the hour. I know that there's communication, so I'm not sure what Germany's foreign minister is saying an agency in the negotiations. I'm sure if the negotiation is really unfavorable for Ukraine and the Ukrainian people, I'm sure that President Zelensky will have a voice to open his mouth and say something. He has media. He's obviously engaged in a military conflict with Russia, so he's not afraid to go against Putin. So I don't understand if he was concerned about not having an agency. They said agency. I would say an iron in the fire, a horse in the race, whatever term you want to use. I guess that's what they mean when they say an agency in the negotiations, I'm guessing. You think that's what they mean, Kerry? An agency in the negotiations? You think it's like, do they have an iron in the fire or a horse in the race? You think, that's
well, I guess they're just saying that all of the parties should be involved in it equally, and they don't think Ukraine is.
You know, I guess you're seeing it the same way I did. I mean, it's just a random quote. I want to divert back a little bit, and I'm going to ask you, Europe is now concerned about fully addressing security concerns? Am I out of line for thinking that is really kind of out there a little bit? Crimea was 2014. They've been fully at war for how many years now? We're 3-year mark. Pretty much the entire President Biden administration, Russia and Ukraine have been in conflict. Basically, I guess they waited until President Trump did not take office for the second term and Biden won. And again, we're not going to get into who truly won. I don't want to play that bots and trolls. They obviously, it seems to be very interesting how that worked out in timing, that they went into an actual war and we're hitting the 3-year mark now. I mean, what say you, Kerry?
I think the whole thing is ridiculous. And why they let Putin do what he did is unrealistic.
Right.
And everybody, everybody let him do it, not just Ukraine or whatever. Everybody let him do it.
And, you know, here's a little one, and I know you'll remember this. I'm sure that when maybe run the video clip and audio of it. You remember when Obama and Putin were having a meeting, then he had a hot mic moment, and he leaned over to the Russian President Putin, and Obama was the president at the time, and he leaned over and he said to him that he will have, quote unquote, more flexibility after his reelection. Do you remember that? I do. And it was pretty big.
Yeah, I really don't follow politics.
So yeah, it was a hot mic moment. So basically, President Obama and President Vladimir Putin of Russia, they were at one of their summit, you know, where they sit there with the flags behind them, you know, your typical presidential meeting, you know, they shake hands and then they flag questions and do their, you know, their thing. Well, I guess when it was on in between a break or at the end or wherever they were, you'll find it to put it into the show. At that point, Barack Obama leaned in to Putin and the microphone was still on and it got recorded and everybody heard it, where he said to him that they should have a conversation after his reelection because he'll have more flexibility. I believe that was almost the direct quote, I'll have more flexibility, but it was definitely he'll be able to do more. I'm pretty sure. Bot and troll me. I'm pretty sure it was, that's not verbatim word for word, but the word flexibility. And after my election, it was definitely came out of the mouth of President Obama. And then obviously he was reelected second term now. And then Crimea was in 2014. That was after his election. I don't know. Was that his flexibility? I don't know. Again, just words to think about, folks. I'm not passing judgment or opinion on any former president and what their policy is. Go look it up yourself. I'm sure my executive producer, who's with me right here, or you know, in the studio box, she'll have it up available for you to listen. But feel free to look it up yourself. That was caught on a hot mic, and that was before the election. And the election was not in 2014. The election was 2 years prior to that. For what you will, you decide. I report, you decide. There it is. You don't remember that at all, Carrie?
No, sorry.
Yeah. No, I mean, don't be sorry. I mean, it's one of those. I mean, there's so many things that occur. I mean, people have long memories, but they have short memories at the same time. I guess he got away with a lot of things that had been said by President Trump would not have been the same. Do you think, honestly, in all fairness, the way the media does, what are they calling it now, the legacy media? It used to be the mainstream media. It was mainstream media, fake news. Now it's called the legacy media. Do you think that the legacy media, if President Trump leaning into Vladimir Putin 2020 before the election outcome, and he said, I'll have more flexibility after election, do you think that that would have been books written about that? That would have been bumper stickers. That would have been everything. You can't argue that with. I mean, come on, let's get real. You think they would have let President Trump get away with that statement and not make that disappear like it just disappeared and you didn't know about this?
Never.
Yeah, they would destroy him for this. I mean, President Trump has gotten away with nothing. Obviously, everything he says and does. I mean, they're trying to impeach this man already, which again, I'm not even going political here. You're laughing, Carrie, and you're on, you know, and we have separate political ideas, but we don't bring that into business. But let's be real. Let's spin off for a second here, Carrie. Are they tone deaf? Are the Democrats literally tone deaf across the country? Landslide election. It's a mandate. There it is. Instead of thinking about how they can reorganize and find good leadership for them to maybe save their party, they're going against the mandate. I mean, Carrie, help me out here. I mean, what do you think? Is that insane? Is it? I mean, it's got to be. Truly insane.
I don't really consider people and their opinions per their party.
Right.
It's what they say as an individual that I listen to. So the other stuff to me is just crap.
Right. I mean, party politics out of it. But I mean, if you are one of these people that are talking about bringing up articles, impeachment, and I mean, the guy's been in office less than a month. What would be impeachable? How about a discussion on the radicalized federal judge that signed an ex parte temporary restraining order, TRO, at 1 in the morning on a Saturday evening when this particular judge was actually only covering as the emergency on-call judge, and there was no true emergency to put a temporary restraining order at 1 a.m. on a Saturday to stop. And the verbiage, and again, I'm not, it's not in my script, but we're just putting it out here, conversation. The verbiage reads something like this, that no appointed officials, no elected or appointed, definitely politically appointed officials can access the U.S. Treasury databases. Did you know that, Karen?
No, I didn't. But
again, the legacy media doesn't report this stuff. So you heard it here. Maybe it's an episode to talk about another day. So a federal judge, don't have his name in front of me, but when you are editing, I'm sure you'll be able to put it up. Federal judge, ex parte, folks. Ex parte means that there was only one party discussing this motion that they made to the judge was done with one party there. Ex parte, meaning President Trump, nor none of his spokespeople, no attorneys, nobody on the Trump team, Trump administration, who is the executive branch of government, elected by the people with a mandate. This federal judge, who was in rotation only there as a on-call emergency judge, and they waited to do this at 1 a.m. on a Saturday. What's the emergency to have a federal judge at 1 a.m. on a Saturday night to have an ex parte with him and not have anybody from the Trump administration be able to speak or have any discussion, an opinion, an objection, or any feedback into this? And he signs a temporary restraining order saying that no political appointees, that includes the secretary who oversees the Treasury, cannot access his own database based on this temporary restraining order. Interestingly enough, when the actual federal judge that is in that seat came back Monday, immediately moved it forward and said they wanted it within a day. They wanted this to be answered and to be brought back before the court, knowing that having a 1 a.m. ex parte on a Saturday, and need we explain, there are three branches of government, folks. You have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. Three branches, and they're all explained clearly. They're articulated in the United States Constitution. Section, Article 1, 2, and 3 explain federal judge, explain, you know, the different process of what's supposed to be happening here. The executive branch of government is the people that carry out the law. They carry out the administrative duties of government. They execute them. Like executive, they execute, they do the action. The president and his administration are the executive branch. The legislative branch, they write the laws. They create and write the laws. And then the executive branch, the president, signs a law and signs a bill and it becomes a law. The judicial branch is to decide if it's constitutional, number one, decide if a law is constitutional, and they also resolve conflicts and disputes. At what part, and again, I don't want to go off too far in a seahole here, but at what part does a federal judge in the judicial branch, where does constitutionality of anything or a conflict, because that's his job. His job is to solve conflicts, and the judicial branch is to review for constitutional adherence to newly passed laws and activities. I don't see the connection there. Why did this need to happen? Maybe I could see the connection if it went to court another day. But why did it need to be ex parte 1 a.m. on a Saturday? And that order is stopping the duly elected president from having his administration do what it is they campaigned for the past year and a half, and he won the election with a mandate to do those things, and now you use a federal judge to try to stop that? It just is tone deaf. And then they're talking about impeaching the president. Maybe they should consider, there's two ways to remove a federal judge. People assume that a federal judge is a lifetime appointment. Yes, it is a lifetime appointment. But there are two ways to remove a federal judge. Not in my notes today, but I'm going off. I don't care. There are two ways to remove a federal judge from his or her lifetime appointment. Number one is if they are the same as a president and other elected officials, they kind of consider them an official of government. If they commit felonies or high crimes and misdemeanors and things of that nature. But there's another way it can be done. See, in order to impeach, that would be the impeachment process, similar to what they attempted to do to President Trump several times in his last administration, and they're trying to do now. An impeachment is an indictment, similar to an indictment in a criminal case. It's just an indictment. It's saying, okay, we believe, we, the grand jury, or we, the Congress, believe that there is enough evidence to move forward into a trial in grand jury and a criminal case. It's a trial. And in an impeachment, the impeachment is per se the indictment. And the trial is the hearing in the Senate. It's the same process for a federal judge. Now, in order to get a conviction, or a conviction in a criminal court, it's different. That's beyond a reasonable doubt, 99.999%. Very hard to do in a jury trial. But in here in an impeachment for a president or for a federal judge, you would need 67 votes in the U.S. Senate, which would be all but impossible to do no matter what party has control of the Senate. Right now, the Republicans have control of both the House and the Senate. It wouldn't go anywhere anyway, because you would still need 67 votes to remove somebody from office. That's a lot. But on the other side, there is the alternative way to take a federal judge out of office. And if I was this federal judge, I might want to think about this one. You may hear it not many other places, but on Eric A. Sinani Unplugged, it actually says if the judge or the official has bad behavior, interestingly enough, and I'm not going to get into the articles and where it falls, but it is actually written in there and you can be removed, and you would need a simple majority. You would need a simple majority, meaning you would need one more vote than the other side. You could have a 50-50 tie, and then Vice President J.D. Vance could be the tiebreaker to make it 51, and that federal judge who had a lifetime appointment is no more. That being said, we're going to take a short break. Eric A. Sinani Unplugged right here on iHeart. We're going to come back, close this out. Don't go anywhere.
At the Ramrown Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC, and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sinani, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back, Eric A. Sinani, Unplugged, right here on iHeartRadio. Right before the break, I went off on a little bit of a tangent about the impeachment process of the president and impeaching a federal judge who might not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We call it legislating from the bench. I guess sometimes they forget that there are three branches of government, executive, judicial, and legislative. And maybe they should just stick in their swim lane, we call it, you know, swim lane. Stay in your lane on the highway when you're driving. You're in the judicial branch. So anyway, we went off on a whole tangent. If you missed it before the break, check out download the show afterwards and listen to it. So moving forward, recent diplomatic developments, getting back to Russia and Ukraine and President Trump meeting with President Putin. Interestingly, the release of American teacher Mark Fogel from Russia imprisonment is seen as a huge positive step forward in the improving U.S.-Russian relations. Now, I know you had a little something you wanted to add on that, Karen.
Well, I think the thing that I don't think anybody knew about this.
You mean about the Mark Fogel?
This Mark Fogel. He was picked up for medical marijuana.
I mean,
he had a prescription for medical marijuana, and he's been in
prison. What year was that?
In 21.
Another Biden administration situation. Okay. What else do you have on that? It was medical marijuana from the United States, or what was
yes.
it? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, and he had the prescription, and of course on the marijuana thing, it had the prescription and the doctor that issued it and everything. And
now he was
too bad.
Who was he working for? An NGO, a non-government organization, or?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
I thought he was there on vacation. But
was he?
Yeah.
I mean, I've known this to happen in some other countries as well. I knew of a specific case in a Middle Eastern country that is actually a pretty progressive country. I don't want to really get into too much on them, but and I don't want to say who they are because we're not getting into that. But they're pretty progressive in certain areas of the country for tourism purposes. And this person was in the tourism area. Or granted, there is no legalized marijuana in that country at all, and it is a country that alcohol is not legal there for religious purposes, but in the tourist area, they allow it within the perimeters of the tourist area. So anyway, this individual went to the hospital for something, and when they did blood work up on him, he ended up being taken into custody, and they didn't even tell him why he was being taken into custody for quite a bit of time. And he was in the hospital, and next thing you know, he's being held because they did blood work and found marijuana, THC, marijuana in his system. Interesting factoid, but I don't know what Russia's law is on that. But, I mean, you got to ask yourself, why would you be carrying – I mean, it is not – it's not an antibiotic. A lot of countries don't see it the same way as – I mean, I don't know. If I'm getting on – firstly, how did he – I mean, you had to fly on an airplane, and not every state in the United States, it's legal for medicinal or recreational. So who am I to question? I'm happy because it's marijuana. And honestly, who really cares? Let's be real about that. At the end of the day, we have bigger things. We got fentanyl flowing over our borders, and we're worried about THC. But good for the Fogel family. I'm happy that this man is coming home. I'm sure you too are happy about it, Gary. It's a wonderful thing. Good for the family. Good for him. I'm sorry. I'm sorry on behalf of the United States that this happened, you said, in 21, Gary?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to you, Mr. Fogel, and I'm sorry to the Fogel family as an American that our country allowed you to spend 4 years in a foreign prison over THC, over marijuana, who knows what actually transpired, but I'm sorry that happened to you, to the Fogel family. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and have a conversation, eric@ericandrewsonati.com or eric@thehostilezone.com. We would love to talk to you if you have an interest, but we are glad that you are free. And we are glad that this is a step to showing that we are having some kind of relations with Russia. And really, that's a good thing because we really don't want to be at war anymore. I mean, we have spent the past 24 years in a war. Forget the crazy, 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 insane withdrawal from Afghanistan. that only vacuumed more problems that we're going to be facing down the line. But we've been at war far too long. Too many places are at war. I'm glad to see that this occurred. I'm happy for that, you know, and I'm glad that you provided some insight on that, Carrie. 2021, that's a long time, 4 years to be in. And I'm sure it was prison is no picnic at all, but I'm sure that the Russian prison was very much not a picnic. I'm pretty sure. Don't you agree, Carrie?
I think they've been kind of referred to as hell holes. So yeah, I don't think it was any walk in the park.
Yeah, I saw some photos too of some places that, you know, are just, you know, they're famished on not getting food, and you know, they're not the proper clothes, and they're freezing to death, just all kinds of stuff. So anyway, we're coming close to a hard close of the show, but the release of Mark Fogel, this move truly indicates a willingness on both sides to engage in a goodwill gesture amidst broader negotiations. It is a good sign that this occurred and we have broader negotiations going on. Ukraine, obviously, and other negotiations. That's a good sign. That's good for everybody. Obviously good for the Fogel family. Good for America, good for Russia, maybe good for the whole world. Maybe, I mean, you know, God forbid we have a little peace for a while. That would be wonderful. I hope that's the case. Quote from President Trump, we had a very good exchange and we are looking to have more of these exchanges in the future. I believe that. I want to believe that from the very fiber of my American heart and soul. I love my country. If you watch the show, either show, you know that I truly am a patriot. I don't ever badmouth our president. I didn't badmouth President Biden. I don't badmouth our president, especially while they're in office. I can say what in the Biden administration did or didn't do, the Obama administration did or didn't do. And I spoke, obviously Trump knew about Crimea and what the Trump administration, what did he do? He had relations with President Putin, but Crimea still had been taken from Ukraine. So I'll equally talk about any president's administration, but I will not badmouth our sitting president because I don't do that on this show. But I want to believe that President Trump truly is a negotiator at heart. If anybody truly can come to the table and make people sit, and this guy doesn't sleep, he'll sit there all day. Staffers will tell you. So I believe that he'll bring these people to the table. And I think that as much as the European Union has something to say about representation at the table, I'm sure at the end of the day, peace in two countries, and I'm sure the Ukrainians will be happy with any outcome that does not include homes being destroyed, planes shot out of the sky in neighborhoods, and all other things that are going on. I'm sure that they can deal with whatever, you know, incidentals are going to occur at this meeting. I'm sure everybody's voice will be heard at the end of the day. And I'm sure that peace is what everybody truly wants. You heard the quotes. Zelensky, President Zelensky of Ukraine, wants peace just as bad as everybody else. Nobody wants to fight in that war. So with that said, let's get into the closing summary before we run out of time. This agreement between President Trump and President Putin to initiate the peace negotiations really marks a pivotal moment in the Ukraine conflict. Again, it's been 3 years. 3 years of active conflict. Obviously, a full act of war. But going back again to 2014, when the whole Crimea began, we're talking 11 years total of tensions in that aspect. So while the prospect of ending the war is extremely encouraging, I truly hope that is the case. The dynamics of these talks and the roles of all the involved parties will be crucial in determining the path forward. And I guess everybody's willingness to come to the table, which so far it looks everybody to be willing to come to the table. There's a location to be had. They're going to be apparently doing this in Saudi Arabia. So it looks like the players are there and they're going to sit down, and I'm sure they'll sit for a long time. And I hope that this truly brings some closure to the ongoing conflict, and it brings peace to the Ukrainian people and the Russian people and everybody else that's affected. I truly believe that. Folks, I thank you very much for coming to Eric A. Sinani Unplugged. As always, 180 forward, 180 backwards, 360 times 365. 180 forward, 180 back, 360 times 365 days a year, because danger doesn't take a break. Neither should you. Keep your head on a swivel, folks. God bless America, and come back. Check me out, Eric A. Sinani Unplugged, or The Hostile Zone with Eric A. Sinani and Bianca C. Right here, iHeartRadio. God bless America. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.